रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम केशव माधव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम 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 जय राजा राम 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 जय सीता राम
I was missing in your place. And so much is gone. I think you're hitting it.
Rama 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 Rama
Rama Rama Rama Rama I said the previous session, discovering happiness through the discovery of the reality as one's own self is the ultimate, absolute, common human end, goal, absolute end, absolute human goal. Ultimate goal of this human life. Why do you say discovering happiness is the ultimate goal? Discovering happiness through the discovery of the reality as the self is the absolute end. Why do you say this? Here we have to understand . Do we need money or not? We need money. Do we need education or not? We need education. We need all basic needs. We need a house. We need food. We need shelter. We need clothing. Basically, we need food. We cannot survive without food. So, for which we need money. We need all the agricultural products. We need money. We need job. We need education. We need intelligence. We can't live by ourselves. We need friends. We need marriage. We need a family. We need children. We need society, friends. Even we need to be known as a good person. We need recognition in the society as a good person. Oh, she is a very good person. He is a very good person. I know him well. He is a very sweet person. We need good reputation. We need recognition also in society. We need means we want to have all of them. Do we need them all? Not. We all need them. If we need them in, should we pursue that or not? We should pursue. We need to work. We have to make money. We need to live our lives. We have to eat. We have to drink. We need all that. We need a house. Why all these things? If I have money, if I have a job, if I have some business, if I have some bank balance, if I know many friends, if I have many friends, if I know people, if I have some money power, if I have manpower, if I have some influence in society, I feel very secure. So we need all that. So pursuit of such things, making efforts to have those things which make me feel secure. It makes us feel secure. Is also a human end, human goal. I want to make this much money. I want to buy this house. I want to get married to this woman. I want to get married to this man. I want to have this many children. I want to have make many friends. I want to be successful in my business. Nothing wrong. Because all these things make me feel secure. So, making efforts to have all of them, which make me feel secure, is also a human end, human goal. In Sanskrit language, we call it artha. Artha is a Sanskrit term. What do you mean by artha? Artha is one of the four human pursuits. What do you mean by artha? As I told just now, whatever we pursue, we want to have in order to feel secure is called artha. Artha literally means wealth, money. If I ask you, what do you want money for? Come on, Swaminiji. Your asking is as if you do not know the value of money. I want money for everything. For food, shelter, clothing, what? Holiday, whatever I want, what is possible without money? Isn't it? So you have enough money, still you earn more. Why? Because having more and more of money, having lots of money, makes me feel more and more secure. If I have some money, I feel secure. If I have more money, I feel more secure. If I have more and more money, I feel more and more secure. So nothing wrong. Should I earn money or not? What is the question? We have to earn money. We have to do something to earn money. Because it makes you feel secure. Living this life is not possible without money. So money is very important. This is also an end. So whatever I pursue for security is also an end, which is artha. if I do anything else which makes me forget my difficulties, hardships, troubles in my day-to-day life is what? Is a pursuit of pleasure. I work the whole day in the office, or I work somewhere in the garden, or I do some carpentry work, or electrician's work, or in the bank, as a bank official, I work as a doctor, I work as an engineer, whatever one's work is, one works from morning till evening, the whole day. In everyone's field, there are a lot of difficulties and hardships and obstacles and troubles, and then, you know, lots of things. And when you get back home in the evening, change your clothes, have a shower, wash, come back, have a cup of tea, and watch television, or read newspaper, watch television, and you don't even watch, it's not even the news, some other serial or something, or you watch a movie. When you're watching the movie, focusing attention in that story or in the serial, it may be romance, it may be comedy, it may be tragedy, something you are watching seriously. Completely you forget about the problem you had with your boss in the office. Completely you forget about the other problems in life. As long as you're watching, focus, you have lots of problems. But when you're watching, completely you forget. You're so engrossed in this. Isn't it? It's a change. Is anything which makes you forget your day problems in day-to-day life, by holding your attention totally, is object of your pleasure. It can be watching a television, or watching a serial, or a movie, or reading a book, or reading a newspaper, or listening to some music, or watching a dance, or yourself dancing. Sometimes you go away to far a place for a picnic or holiday, completely forget about, until you come back, you don't think of your office. You will go for holidays. No office in my mind until I return. Once you book the holiday. This is called what? The change from your routine work, which makes you fatigued and tired and bored, is called pleasure, pursuit of pleasure. We call it kamaha. The word kamaha literally has many meanings, desire, you know, but here it is a pursuit of pleasure. So we talk about different types of pleasures, sensory pleasures. When you enjoy, eat an ice cream, and you talk about the texture of the ice cream, the flavor of the ice cream, how sweet the ice cream is, how nice the ice cream is, you enjoy eating your ice cream, you order for 2 more cups, means you forget your worries then. At least until you finish eating. Such, we say what now? Sensory pleasures. So you want to read books. Not all the people are given to the habit of reading. And always people look for book reviews. You know, what is the latest book in your own field? Suppose, what is your interest? If you're interested in sports, if you're interested in science, if you're interested in something else, politics, if you're interested in economics, whatever you're interested in, what is the latest book released? So is there any book review? You read it, it's a better review, nice reviews, immediately you want to go and buy a new book and you want to read it. And you cannot stand not having that book, newly published book, in your shelf. That is how we, all of us have big, huge bookshelves. We can keep on piling up, buying and booking. Why? Sometimes we may not read also. But always sometimes we buy and keep. Most of the people I asked, wherever I go, I ask, I feel very, disturbed. My God, these people have read so many books. I always ask, have you read all the books you have? And not all. Everybody has collection of books. But I asked many people, nobody said, I finished reading all the books I have. Why? Because there is a pleasure we derive in reading books. Even in collecting books also. Because we assume one day I'll read. Why? Because because that's expression of an intelligence for intellectual pleasure. Eating ice cream more and more. Oh, very nice pudding. Order for one more. That is not for intellectual pleasure. When you order for one cup, two cups, okay. When you ask for fifth cup, that is not for intellectual pleasure. That's for sensory pleasure. So you pursue also intellectual pleasure. Sometimes you want to go for a long drive. Why wasting a petrol, wasting a time, energy, money? You want to go for a long drive. Why can't you sit at home? You lose some security in the form of money, your energy, your time, leaving behind all the work, still you want to go for a long drive. Why? Because there's a beautiful, mountains other side, or you see a sea that side, you see the ocean that side, you see some beautiful lawns or jungles or woods. You go quiet villages, because in appreciating the natural beauty, natural scenery also, we derive some pleasure. It's a change from your routine work. That's called aesthetic pleasure. What do you get? Just by driving through the villages, seeing the quiet, beautiful green lawns, pastures, or some sheep grazing, cows grazing. By seeing them, what do you get? Just simply going to the seashore, standing there, simply watching these waves and ocean, what do you gain? There is some pleasure. Not for all the people. I'm saying some people like it. Because there's some pleasure. So such the pleasure one derives by appreciating the natural beauty or natural sceneries is called aesthetic pleasure. So like this, human beings are given to the pursuit of different types of pleasures, as sensory pleasures, intellectual pleasure, and aesthetic pleasure. For what? Just to forget the problems in day-to-day life, or to take the mind away for some time from the routine monotonous work which makes one feel tired and bored. A change is always a pleasure. So this is also called what? A human end. It's also a human goal, it's also a human end. Enjoyment of pleasures is also a human goal. So making money, living comfortably is also a human goal. So the question comes, is making money, living one's life comfortably and enjoying these pleasures itself is the purpose of living this life? No. That means, does it mean that I should not make money, I should not pursue wealth, I should not live a comfortable life, I should not enjoy pleasures? No. You have to pursue wealth. You have to make money. You have to live this life comfortably. You can enjoy pleasures. But you have to remember here, we are pursuing all that for our security in terms of wealth, money, jobs, education, family. It's all these things we want to have in life. We need all of them to live this life. You want money to live this life. You need food to live this life. You need shelter to live this life. You need friends to live this life. You need marriage to live this life. You need family to live this life. You need children to live this life. You need to enjoy pleasures to live this life. But you are not living this life for only for money. You're not living this life for enjoying pleasures. You need to have money, wealth, everything, enjoy pleasures for living this life. But you're not living this life for enjoying them. Then what am I living this life for? Because if you ask this question, what do you need money for? Security. What do you need family for? It makes me feel secure. What do you mean? What do you need the good name society for? It makes me feel secure. What do you want the influence society for? Good name society for? It makes me feel secure. Finally, I ask, what do you want security for? Because in being secure, I feel happy. Ultimately, what you want through security is happiness. What do you want these pleasures for? I want pleasures. I want to enjoy pleasures. Ultimately, through the enjoyment of pleasures, what do you want is happiness. Through the enjoyment of sensory pleasures or intellectual pleasures or aesthetic pleasures, what you ultimately seek is, want is happiness. Look at this. Therefore, happiness, what you ultimately seek through the pursuit of wealth, also is happiness. What you ultimately seek through this, seek by having security, is also happiness. What you ultimately seek through the enjoyment of pleasures also is happiness. Therefore, happiness is your absolute, ultimate, choiceless end, goal, and which has to be only discovered, known, which cannot be attained through any other means, because it is already there as your own very nature. Understand? Therefore we say, mokshaha, freedom from unhappiness, through the discovery of what happiness is. As the very nature of reality, obtaining as one's own self is the ultimate choiceless human end goal. So we are living this life for discovering the truth, discovering happiness as the nature of the truth of the whole, available for recognition in one's own mind as one's own self. This is the ultimate purpose of living this human life. But for living this life, you need to pursue wealth, everything else. We need to enjoy pleasures also. We can enjoy pleasures for living this life. But we are living this life not for enjoyment of pleasures, not merely for pursuing wealth. Purpose of living this life is discovery of what the truth is, what happiness is. And here the question comes, how can I attain the knowledge of the self? You need not attain yourself, isn't it? You need to attain the knowledge of yourself. How can I attain the knowledge of the truth as the knowledge of myself, my one's own self? By preparing your mind. Understand? See, knowledge of anything has a prerequisite qualification. If somebody wants to do post-graduation in biochemistry, in good university here, and that person must have already graduated, must be a graduate, must have done his degree in biochemistry. To do his master's in biochemistry, he wants to do PhD, register for PhD, he must be a postgraduate. He wants to do postdoctoral fellowship, he must be already a PhD doctorate. He must have got a doctorate already to have the postdoctoral fellowship. And to enter into the university to do your degree, you must have completed your school education, high school education, and never went to the school, and straight away want admission in the university. Who will give admission? If somebody gives you admission, if you are allowed to sit in the class, you cannot understand anything what the professor is teaching. Why? Because you do not know what is being taught. Which means one must be qualified to become more qualified. Isn't it true? Always the knowledge needs a prerequisite qualification. Without having studied anything in physics, if you suddenly go and sit in the physics class, everything will go about the head. I'm not qualified, isn't it? Therefore, one must be qualified for the attainment of any knowledge. Similarly, here, to attain this knowledge of one's own self, even to discover what I am, to know what I am, thereby to discover, to know what the truth of the whole is, thereby to discover what happiness is, even for this knowledge, one must be qualified. One must have the qualification. If you are not qualified, you can't attain this knowledge. Everybody, knowledge is open, free. Anybody, everybody can attain this knowledge of the self. Anybody, everybody is, it's a birthright, isn't it? Allowed to discover this happiness, take ownership of this happiness as one's own self. Nobody can be stopped, prevented, obstructed from attaining this knowledge. Provided, isn't it? One must qualify. All that I need is, I need to be qualified for this knowledge. Oh, now I'm very clear. Discovering happiness through the discovery of the reality as myself is a choiceless end. I have to discover it. Unless I discover what myself is, what the reality is, there's no way of discovering what happiness is. Until and unless I discover what happiness is, there's no way of being happy always, everywhere, with everybody. I can't help becoming the victim of unhappiness and sorrow and sadness in life. Therefore, now I'm so interested in knowing what is the qualification. Let me make efforts to become qualified. This is what understanding the importance, necessity of being qualified for this knowledge. You want to be desperately, qualified for this knowledge. Please tell me, how can I be qualified? Why? I want this knowledge. Why? I want to discover happiness. Why? I'm living this life for that. Why? Because a choiceless end. What choice do I have? I want freedom from limitations. I want freedom from unhappiness. I want freedom from sorrow. How to be qualified? One has to be mentally pure and steady. What is the qualification here? Not any other qualification. Mental purity and mental steadiness. Mental purity, mental steadiness. Or you can say purification of the mind, steadiness of the mind. I can say emotional stability, intellectual sharpness. This is the qualification I need for knowledge. Even to understand much subtler facts in physics. One must be bright. An intellectually dull person cannot understand subtle facts. Everybody is equally qualified, blessed with the capacity to understand. We have to make use of the intellect we are blessed with to understand. Even if we say all that is, everything is energy, the physicist says, it's a subtle fact, isn't it? It's not a gross, abstract, something very abstract fact. You want to understand that fact, one must be sharp. And scripture goes one step ahead, says, come on, like entire ocean is nothing but water. Every wave is water. Similarly, the scripture says, all that is here is the reality. Everything is only appearance of the only reality. You are the reality. You are the truth. You are the truth. All that is here is the truth. This is the most abstract fact. It's a fact. When you say the entire ocean is water, isn't it a fact? Every wave is water, isn't it a fact? Similarly, when the scripture says all that is here, all the living beings, all the non-living things, everything here is nothing but appearance of the reality. And you are the reality. There is nothing other than reality. This is a fact. Abstract fact. Even to understand this fact, in discovering this fact, you discover what happiness is, what fullness is. To discover this, imagine how sharp one must be. Intellectual sharpness. For which you mean what? One must be mentally pure and steady. This is the qualification required on the part of any aspirant of the knowledge. Only when you understand this fact, I need to pursue artha in the form of money and other so many things for security to live this life. I need to enjoy pleasures to live this life, but definitely I'm living this life for discovering the truth, discovering happiness. When a person knows this, then only he is called a spiritual aspirant. Until and unless one comes to know of the fact of the ultimate purpose of living this life, being discovery of what happiness is, discovery of what the truth is, discovery of one's own self is, one cannot call oneself a spiritual aspirant. Understand now, as who is a spiritual aspirant? Who is a spiritual person? The one who has burning thirst for knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of the self, for discovering happiness, is the spiritual aspirant. So any spiritual aspirant needs the qualification of mental purity and mental steadiness. So attainment of knowledge is very easy. Discovery of the truth is very, very easy. Discovering who you are is very easy. discovering what happiness is very, very easy. Attainment of freedom from unhappiness is very, very easy. What is difficult? Becoming qualified for this knowledge is difficult. Not difficult, involves great deal of effort. Now the question comes, how can I prepare my mind for knowledge? Where is the truth available for recognition? Where is the truth? The truth is everywhere. Always the truth is, everywhere the truth is, all that is here is the truth alone. But I can't comprehend this fact. The truth is available for recognition only in your mind. Therefore, the knowledge of the truth has to arise in your mind alone. Therefore, mind needs to be taken care of. Mind has to become pure and steady. We always take care of the physical body so well. Read every before eating every food, how much calorie it has, what all it has, what I should give up. Why? I want to be physically healthy. Do we really care for mental health? What is it which will make me mentally healthy? Which means what? How can I be mentally pure and steady? Unless and until I become mentally pure and steady, there is no way of discovering the truth. Even though all the time truth is available in your mind. Look at this. All the time, there's no time the truth is not there available. No place the truth is not available. We need not go anywhere. We need not do anything. Always the truth is available. The happiness is available for discovery in your own mind. All the time. As very you. My God. Something is right. All the time is available. But you are not able to take ownership of it. What prevents is your unpreparedness. Isn't it? Therefore, now the question comes, how can I become qualified? How can I become mentally pure and steady? What is the way? And again, scripture says, there is no shortcut method. The only way one can become qualified for this knowledge, one can prepare one's mind for this knowledge, one can become mentally pure. What is that way? By living a life of karma yoga, which means implies living a life of dharma, living one's life in conformity with universal values. Understand, we all know values, but we do not know the value of values. I should speak the truth. I need not speak all the truths I know, but whatever I speak must be the truth. I should not tell lies. I should not cheat others, betray others. I should be kind to others, loving to others. I shouldn't be hurting others by thought or word or deed. I should not hurt others' feelings. Why? Why should not? Very difficult to do, isn't it? because we simply say you should not, it's very, you, it'll, no, it'll make you very angry. I'm not saying should not, must not. I want you to understand. I know these are all values, because this is what I expect from others. I expect others to speak the truth to me. I don't like others telling lies to me. I don't like others stealing anything belonging to me. I don't like others cheating me. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want others to hurt me. I don't want my feelings to be hurt. I want everybody to be nice to me, kind to me, loving to me. I expect others to speak the truth to me. I expect others not to cheat me, not to betray me. I expect, you know, from others proper behavior. Therefore, how do you know that? I know. So from this, from what I expect from others in terms of behavior, from what I expect how others should behave with me, I know what is right and what is wrong. I also understand, not only I expect what I expect in terms of behavior from others, everybody else expects the same from everybody, every other person. Therefore, I know what is right and what is wrong. I cannot say that I do not know what the values are. But still, I'm not able to follow values always. We don't tell lies always, sometimes. We do not cheat always, sometimes. We do not hurt always, sometimes. Which means, we know the values, we are not following the values all the time. So because we do not know the value of values. Now, as a spiritual aspirant, you come to know of the value of values. Value of dharma. Living a life of values is also dharma. The word dharma has a wide meaning. So it will take a long time for us to understand the meaning of the word dharma completely. Here, now what I want you to understand is dharma is living a life of values. Because living a life of values means living one's life in tune with the universal natural law and order. Living in harmony with the universal natural law and order. Not transgressing, not rubbing against the universal natural law and order. So you can be mentally conflict-free, you can be mentally agitation-free, you can be mentally pure, steady, only if your life is in tune with the universal natural law and order. How can you live your life in tune with, in harmony with the universal natural law and order? Unless you live a life of values. Therefore, what is that I should do to prepare my mind for knowledge? If the knowledge has to dawn, you have to be prepared. Means to prepare your mind for knowledge, you need not do anything else. In doing all your duties, in doing all your actions, in everyday life, all that one needs to do is, one needs to follow values. It's the only way you can become mentally pure, mentally sharp. Therefore, this scripture says, one has to pursue artha and kama. One has to make money, you know, eat food, enjoy pleasures to live this life in conformity with dharma, in conformity with values. Ultimately, for discovering the truth as one's own self, which is discovery of freedom. Understand? So, may one pursue wealth, eat food, drink water, enjoy pleasures, but how one should do? In conformity with values, thereby prepare one's mind for knowledge, ultimately attain knowledge. So pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. Is it clear now? So, as a spiritual person, when you know the value of values, you also live a life of values, then you are an ethical person also. The one who is merely, there are people who are, without being spiritual, they are ethical. They are righteous people. They don't do anything wrong. Still they are ethical but not spiritual. But the spiritual person is the one who knows the value of values. Because he knows, I need to live a life of values. I need to follow values. Unless and until I consciously, alertfully live a life of values, there's no way of becoming mentally pure and steady. No way of becoming prepared for this knowledge. Therefore, ultimately my focus is on my discovery of happiness. My focus is on discovery of the truth. My focus is on the attainment of knowledge of the truth. My focus is on knowledge, attainment of the knowledge of the self. But therefore, consciously I live my life in conformity with dharma, values. Isn't it? Therefore, a spiritual person is an ethical person. And here comes the question. Okay, I want to be ethical. I want to be righteous. I want to live a life of values. I know the value of values. I know unless I live a life of values, there's no way of preparing myself for this knowledge. I know knowledge is an ultimate choiceless end. Because happiness is my choiceless end. But how to live a life of values? Isn't it? You know how to make efforts. Then you have to make efforts consciously to live a life of values. And also seek the grace of the Lord, Ishwaraha Bhagavan, in the form of universal law and order. we have to seek the grace of the Lord, making appropriate efforts, making adequate efforts. You have to seek the grace of the Lord to be able to live a life of values. Therefore, now you become prayerful also. Not only you seek, you pray for this knowledge and strength to be able to live a life of values. And not only that, you feel, you can understand how blessed you are, that what are, for all that you are blessed with. You are blessed with good health, you are blessed with, you know, you can see, your eyes are okay, your ears are okay, you can eat, you have got a job, you got some money, you are able to earn, you are able to live, you have a shelter to live, you are not on the roadside. You are blessed with so many things. When you feel that you are already blessed with, you are not suffering. You have water, when you open the tap, you can drink water, you have food in the house. Means, when you think that you are already blessed with all that you need to live this life also, you feel very grateful. So as an expression of your gratitude to the Lord, when you bow to the Lord, it's also what? Again, it is worship. So being worshipful means being thankful to the Lord for all that you are blessed with. And being prayerful means seeking Bhagavan's grace fervently for being able to live a life of values. Now you understand the value of being prayerful and worshipful also. As a spiritual aspirant, knowing what the purpose of living this life, you know, who is a spiritual person, spiritual aspirant? One who knows the purpose of living this human life. The purpose of living this human life is discovering the truth, discovering happiness as the nature of the truth, as one's own self. And for that, one knows, I need to be qualified. And for becoming qualified for the knowledge, I need to live a life of values. The one who, therefore, a spiritual aspirant is the one who is ethical, knowing the value of values. As an ethical person, a spiritual aspirant is the one who is highly religious also. All those people who worship and pray are religious but not spiritual. People who worship and pray are very religious but not spiritual. But a spiritual aspirant who is ethical also is definitely religious. Why? There's prayerfulness, there's worshipfulness on the part of a spiritual aspirant. Remember, the ethical person need not be spiritual, need not be religious. A religious person may be ethical, may not be ethical, need not be spiritual. But the spiritual aspirant is definitely ethical as well as religious. Understand? How long should they be praying to the Lord? How long should they be worshipping the Lord? It's not simply praying to the Lord and worshipping the Lord. doing your duties, what you need to do, making appropriate, adequate efforts. Doing the duties means doing the needful to live your life, to earn your money, to earn your food, to earn your shelter, to earn your clothing. Doing your duties. Prayerfully, worshipfully, in conformity with the values. Is it? For ultimately for knowledge makes one a spiritual person. So what should be the prayer I should do? I know a lot of people have some questions now. You talk about the Lord, you talk about the God, whom do we worship? What do we pray to? How do you say prayer is effective? Questions come. That is not no time today. Come again. We'll talk about all those things. Okay? But I want to end this class with a prayer. As a spiritual aspirant, this is the all-inclusive, complete, exalted prayer. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge and strength to choose to do the right to refrain from the wrong, to avoid the wrong. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of what I can change, what I cannot change. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge and strength to change prudently what I can. Please bless me with the knowledge and strength to change prudently, intelligently, carefully what I can. To accept gracefully what I cannot. O Lord, please bless me with all strength, all knowledge to do the right, to avoid the wrong. This is an all-inclusive, complete, exalted prayer for any spiritual aspirant. So prayer, the act of praying and worship should culminate in the attainment of knowledge. Om. I really pray to Bhagwan to bless all of you for the longest, healthiest, happiest, most prosperous, successful, meaningful, complete life. May Bhagavan bless all of you with the fulfillment of all your righteous wishes. Okay? Good people have genuine interest, so definitely you have already started tapping the Lord's grace for all the good ends. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha.
Hari Om.